It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Mike's not in with us this week, but we'll be back soon. And a special episode of the show today. And this is something with deer season in the rear view. And before we get into turkey season, it's time to talk about hunting this coming fall. I know what you're saying. You'd be like, no, we'll worry about that after turkey season, after I do some fishing. And then we'll start getting to thinking about seasons coming up. Probably midsummer, we'll start paying attention. You know, in August, when we start prepping our leases and all that. But no, if you want to hunt out west, if you want to do that once in a lifetime, or hopefully maybe lots in a lifetime, hunts in the West, it's time to get moving on this. I said it last year as I went through my journey of what I'd wanted to do for decades, and that is to go out west and hunt. I went through that process because it seemed like insurmountable for a guy from down here on the Gulf Coast. It really wasn't. And I brought in some expert advice, and I was lucky to make a buddy over at GoHunt.com. And he kind of led me through some things last year, and he's going to do the same thing for all of us. Trail Kreitzer, research manager, gear expert, and all-around good dude over at GoHunt.com, joining us on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Hey, Trail.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, thanks for doing this. And I guess let's get the important stuff done for folks like us. How was your season?
Great. Yeah, I had a really good season. You know, I had a pile of tags, probably more than my wife was happy that I had. But, I started out hunting elk in Wyoming and killed a nice six-point bull with my bow. And then I came back and I had a muzzleloader deer tag in Utah and killed a great buck that I did a bunch of preseason scouting and turned him up and ended up actually harvesting him, I think, about on the third or fourth day. I had a bunch of other tags, too. I took my kid to Wyoming on his first antelope hunt ever, and he and I both had tags. We drew those as a second choice in the draw, which was a cool opportunity because we were both still able to get tags and go hunting and also still build points and retain, you know, any points that we had. And that was his first big game animal, so that was awesome. Overall, just had an awesome season. Tons of fun. I didn't fill a couple of permits, but I was okay with that because I was really trying to hold out. But good season and looking forward to next one for sure.
Right, and you already have. It sounds like you were pretty good on meat in the freezer, so your meat runs were good. Nobody's going to be starving for meat at your house. You know, I heard you talking to a podcast host, and I mean, obviously you know him well and familiar with him, maybe not the audience, maybe some, Randy Newberg. Y'all were talking about that and taking your son hunting, and that it's a cool part of that. And I want to get into the what y'all do at GoHunt.com and want to talk about some strategies for folks down here in the South who want to go hunting in the West this year. But I want to get to the kid thing first before I go past this, because like you, I'm a dad. I've got little ones in the house. I've got a 13 and an 8-year-old. And I heard you and Randy talking about the best investment in money for families like ours who are going to have kids who hopefully will want to go hunting with us is to look at those youth tags now. Get, even if you're just putting in for a point or you're actually trying to get that hunt like you had with your son for antelope in Wyoming, you do that now and it's a good bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can talk about the variety of states that offer youth hunts. New Mexico is a phenomenal youth state. They have some just absolutely awesome hunts that are only available to youth, and to apply, it's relatively inexpensive. That's an opportunity I would definitely encourage people to utilize. Arizona, for an adult, it's quite expensive. You have to buy a $160 hunting license, but for youth, it's $5.
So it's a good deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, jump in when your kids are young and start building them points. Any other state also, places like Colorado or, Wyoming, It pays. I mean, the name of the game in the West is playing the system and building points and getting them into a position that they can eventually go hunting. And, you got to start when they're young. I actually just did, for your members, it might be, or your listeners that might be interested, I actually did a two-part series just specifically for youth on the Go Hunt Insider website. So that was two articles. I broke down all 10 Western states on the opportunity that was just available to youth And I've, you know, received a ton of good feedback about that, just tons of people that are able to use that to help their kids and get them in the field.
Yeah, and this is something that at the prices you're talking about, I mean, let's be frank, at the prices you're talking about for entry into this, we can roll the dice on this, and maybe our kid didn't get – maybe they got more mom's genetics than mine, and maybe they won't want to hunt, although I've proven that mine do. But it's not a big risk in money. But if they do want to hunt – there's something – I mean, I had to have this moment because I'm 46 and I've been dreaming about this but not doing anything about Western hunting for a long time. I realize now for something that's very hard to draw, like a Rocky Mountain bighorn tag or something like that, it's not going to happen for me. I'm going to be I'm going to be 6 feet under before I would get drawn for that. But if somebody is, you know, a youth hunter right now, they, by the time they're my age, will definitely have had the points to make that kind of hunt.
Yeah, possibly, for sure. Yeah, and I'm just like you. You never know, you know, what your kids are going to want to do, if they're going to be interested in hunting. And for me, I mean, it's relatively cheap right now to do so, to build points for them. So I think it's worth it. And then, you know, what I was blown away with is my oldest is 13, and this is his first, you know, real year hunting. And he's never shown a ton of interest in hunting. He's always kind of, you know, dabbled a little bit, never been super interested, but the opportunity to get him out into the field and, like, you know, get a gun in his hand and, like, see animals and see antelope and you know, be on the stalk and on the hunt, it's really changed his perspective. And I think, you know, just that one experience this year is probably going to make a lifelong hunter in him. You know, see, you can't always predict it either.
And there are the right kind of hunts for getting youth into it, you know, and there's some that may not be perfect for getting them into it. I mean, we think about it back here at home. Yeah, there's certain kind of, like, I don't take my children to go sit in a thicket waiting for, you know, a big buck outside the rut to show himself for the 7 minutes in daylight that he does, right? I take them out to where they're going to see a bunch of deer. I mean, that's what I take them to do. That gets them into it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to kind of pick and choose. I mean, as far as Western big game hunting, antelope is a phenomenal animal for a youth hunt, for a first hunt. I mean, Wyoming's a great state, too, and I would throw that out there. I mean, it's game rich. There's tons of antelope. They have, you know, literally more antelope than people in the state of Wyoming. And, you know, you're going to see a ton of animals. It's not like a super strenuous hunt where you're, you know, you're climbing mountain peaks and, you know, you're having to wait days and days to maybe get a glimpse. You know, it's game rich and there's tons of opportunity. It's an awesome Western hunt for a kid.
What about for a big kid? Let's talk about that, because Wyoming and antelope, I mean, even though, you know, when you and I first started talking last year, and if you're just joining us, talking to Trail Kreitzer with GoHunt.com, check him out, GoHunt.com. When we were talking last year, I kind of came into this idea that maybe that would be the path I would take to antelope. Mm-hmm. It just worked out that just to the way the seasons were and all that, that it worked out better and with some direction that I would enjoy a mule deer hunt from you. Then I pursued mule deer and did that. But this year, I think I am. I'm looking hard at Wyoming and I'm looking hard at antelope. This is something that there's people who are – explain something to folks who have not done this before. We keep talking about draw and application. Can you go real basic with folks and explain what you're talking about? I mean, why they got to be doing something now and not start thinking about it this summer?
Yeah, so, you know, applications across the West, you know, you're going to start in January. In fact, the Wyoming elk application season's already over. That was January 31st, and you have to apply in a lottery draw. And it's a preference point state where, you know, a certain number of permits, 75% of those are going to be allocated to people with the most points. And then the other part of those are going to be randomly, you know, allocated. So you do have some chance to draw even on your first year of applying. But then, you know, the more points you got, the more options and the more doors that are going to open up to you. So it's something that you need to be, you know, planning and prepping. And every state's that way. I mean, they're a little bit different as far as, like, the different point systems. You know, they work in different states. But you really do have to be planning in advance. So, you know, prime time for application season in the West is going to be January to about May. You know, for antelope, you spoke about it specifically. You know, you're going to apply in Wyoming for a hunt. And like I said, there is a chance you could draw with no points at all. You know, but then every point that you get, it's going to open doors for you. Does that kind of cover it, or is there anything specific you want me to hit on?
Yeah, well, let me break this out. So this is maybe a question that would help. If somebody says, all right, I was listening to Sean and Trail talk, and I want to do that. I want to go antelope hunting this year. When we get in the discussion of lottery and tags, you can wait and maybe get, and I'm going to air quote this, because I think there's good animals in lots of units, but you can get a better tag by waiting a couple years and building points. But I think a lot of people back here at Home Trail think that means there's no way if they sit in there right now and want to go hunting this year, they can't do it. And I, from what I've studied on GoHunt.com over the last year and a half, that's not true. If you want to go, there's probably, especially on something like antelope, an option for you in the West where you can go this year.
Yeah. Yeah, there really is, and that's the great thing about the Go Hunt Insider platform, and I tell people all the time, is the best thing that it'll do for you is it'll open your eyes to the opportunities that exist. You know, there's so much information out there that you can't possibly process it all on your own. You know, and this Go Hunt Insider is such a nice, workable, concise package, and it's so easy to use that you can really, you know, find those opportunities. And, you know, you said it exactly right. There are opportunities for antelope in Wyoming. It would be really tough to find on your own, but with the help of this Insider account and the information that's on the website, it's a whole lot easier to navigate for sure.
All right. We're coming right back. We're going to talk more about antelope and elk and mule deer and how this Insider process works. Just be thinking about this one during the news break here, that you pick the critter you want to hunt and the state you want to hunt. You plug that information in with 0 points, 1 point, 2 point, and it tells you where you have the best chance of drawing and what that area is like. Trail's going to break out more on that, and also more tips for Western hunting. It's application season, so you want to hunt in the West this year, you got to be doing something right now. Coming right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here. And it's, you're saying, well, what season is it right now? Well, of course, quail season still in. Still have small game. Got squirrels, got rabbits. Turkey season not far off. But it's application season. I know you haven't ever hunted an application before. I was in the same way. So we're learning how to hunt applications because we're lucky to have Trail Kreitzer on from GoHunt.com to tell us more about that. And Trail, if people have not gone to GoHunt.com, which I think they probably will as they hear this, explain if you had to say, if you're sitting on an airplane, Trail, and somebody says, hey, where do you work? What do you do? What is it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I tell them I'm a hunting research consultant of sorts, I guess. So, GoHunt.com, if you land on the homepage there, you're going to see it reads a little bit like an online magazine. There's, you know, articles that are, you know, wildlife or hunting related, but really kind of the meat and potatoes of what GoHunt is a subscription service that we call GoHunt Insider. And GoHunt Insider is built on a few different platforms that I think are really helpful to people that are trying to plan Western hunts. And ultimately, that's like the whole goal of that program is to help people, you know where to apply, how to apply, and just get people into the field, because there really are so many hunting opportunities that are out there. So, you know, we cover application strategy articles. So that's a major part of my job is I write these application strategy articles for our insiders. It's going to break down each state and each species, how to apply. It's going to give you tons of insider information on, you know, buck to doe and bull to cow ratios and populations and all those things as hunters that we're kind of looking to pick apart to help us improve our success. We cover draw odds. So we're going to give you the odds for every animal, you know, every species, big game species across 10 Western states, including, you know, female species. If you want to come out and go on a cow elk hunt, we cover the odds for that. And then really the cool thing is we have this thing called filtering 2.0, where you can pick a state, you can pick a species, you know, your residency, and then you can use a variety of filters to kind of really fine-tune the type of hunts that you're looking for. So you can filter by things like harvest success, trophy potential, draw odds, percentage of public land, you know, season. So, for example, if you're a bow hunter and you want to bow hunt elk and you only want to look at the units where you know, elk is offered as an archery hunt, you know, you can very quickly just select that filter and you're only going to see those hunts that are available to you. You know, beyond that, you might sort down to maybe four or five units. You can click on any given unit, and each unit in each state that we cover has a unit profile, and that's going to tell you what the vegetation is like, what the terrain's like, what the precip and the weather is like, averages for every month. For the last 5 years, you're going to see harvest trends for 5 years. You're going to see tag allocation versus the number of applicants. It's just, it's this catch-all for everything, you know, big game hunting in the West. And it really is just an awesome tool that's going to allow people ultimately to get out into the field and to go hunting more often.
Yeah, and that's the big takeaway, hunting more often, because, you know, you're talking about the application strategies. Like I was reading, you were talking about Arizona elk and antelope and those kind of things, and there's some more advanced concepts there that I'm trying to learn to, you know, go in on and go, okay, for trophies long term. But if somebody, this is the point, I think you could sit back and worry about, if I'm going to go, I've got to go where I can hunt gigantic elk during the rut. And if you, maybe one day you can do that, but there's no reason that in the meantime that you don't go hunt something out west and learn. I mean, my first hunt out west last year, and I'm just learning, but I learned a ton on my first hunt. I can't wait to go on my second.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you want to hunt elk, I mean, you can hunt elk every year. In fact, you could hunt elk every year in probably two or three different states, to be honest.
Explain over-the-counter to people.
Over-the-counter.
Yeah, what does that mean? People back home say over-the-counter. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means that you can literally jump on the Fish and Game website, whether that's Colorado or Idaho, or if you just show up, you know, like in the case of Colorado, at a sporting goods store or at a Game and Fish, you know, office, literally just buy a permit over the counter. They're going to hand that to you, and then you can head out into the field and go hunting.
Okay, so just like home, yeah,
and bull elk.
Yeah, just like home. If you want to go, you know, you go down the store and buy your license, you can actually do that out west. But then you can also, in those same states, there's units where it is by draw and is by lottery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the great thing, is that you can use our insider platform to kind of help you do both. So, you know, apply for a limited quota hunt, you know, where there's going to be less hunting pressure, you know, potentially better trophy potential, and kind of work that route over the long term. And in the meantime, if you want to go hunting, you know, we provide those kinds of units and information on those units as well. So those over-the-counter opportunities. So, yeah, it's multifaceted across the West, you know, over-the-counter versus, you know, draw. But there's definitely room for both, and there's definitely no reason that if you want to go that you can't.
Right, and I think that's one of the great messages, too, that this is something that does not have to be some dream that people say, well, just one day when I'm retired, one day. They can do it now. And one of the things you mentioned is you talked about the filtering, and people will learn about that when they go to GoHunt.com. But in that, you mentioned public land. And this is key. Obviously, it's been a big conversation piece over the last couple of years, comes back from time to time when there's a challenge in Washington to it. But also the importance of public land for somebody coming some distance to hunt is that you can do that filtering system. You can see the amount of public land, and y'all have the way to, okay, there's this unit, and it's maybe tough for people to think back home here, but imagine smaller versions of our counties laid over, you know, a state, and that certain zone is where you get drawn to hunt. It's important, right, Trail, to make sure that if you're going to go there, you're not going with an outfitter. And also, I guess, mention the danger of looking at a unit that looks like a really good draw and not checking the public land. But why is public land important when people start going through the filtering?
Yeah, public land is critical, because for most people, they're looking to do a DIY type of hunt. They want to come out, they want to do it on their own. You know, a lot of us don't have deep pockets, and we can't necessarily afford a guide or an outfitter or maybe a private land access like a ranch type hunt. So the opportunity to hunt is going to be on public land. And the West, I mean, it literally has so much public land. You know, it doesn't matter the state, whether you're talking Wyoming or Montana or Utah or, you know, Colorado, Nevada. There is literally just so much public land to hunt. It does take a little bit of research, though. So, you know, the more public land, the better the opportunity to hunt. And typically you're going to see draw odds decline with, you know, more access, better public land, and that can vary a little bit. But ultimately, yeah, you're going to want to pay attention to the public land and how much is available, and and also public land during the time that you're hunting. And that's something I would note. You know, I get calls from people all the time that are saying, oh, I want to go out and archery elk hunt. You know, but this unit maybe only has 30% public land. Well, it's worth doing a little bit of background research on where that 30% of public land exists, because if it's high in elevation and it's U.S. Forest Service and you're going on a September bow hunt, you probably have a lot of opportunity to still go hunting there, because that's where the elk are going to be that time of year. So it's worth a little bit of consideration that way. But, yeah, public land is huge. It's worth considering for sure, and that's why it's built into our filter system.
Yeah, and I think it's man, you brought up so many things. Number one, yeah. When people look through the filter system, understand that because it may be counterintuitive to somebody back home here when you say the more public land that's in a unit, the lower the draw odds, the higher it, the harder it is to draw that tag because people can go there. People, and also so the trap could be if you see, hey, this unit has really good draw odds. Looks like I could draw and get in there. You got to go check the amount of public, because you may draw something that you have nowhere to hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Or very, very few places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the other thing you mentioned here is, because this is another thing for people to just think about back home here, what you were saying, if you look, and all the public lands is subalpine it's alpine, it's high country. Well, if you're doing a September elk hunt, that's fine, but the flip side of that is, at home, our whitetails pretty much stay, other than wandering a little bit during the rut, they stay kind of their home bodies on the same, let's say 600 acres or so they're going to be around. Out there, you could be in an area that would be game-rich in September and game-devoid come November.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're talking, either elk or mule deer, they're going to migrate and move a little bit. So they're going to spend most of their time up in elevation, especially elk. You come September, they're going to be up in the high alpine, and they're going to prefer those big north-facing timbered slopes to bed in. But then you get into November, they're going to move out of that high country and into some lower stuff, or maybe into some like real craggy, nasty canyon country to kind of recuperate after the rut. Mule deer are a little bit more spread out, but they typically have a similar pattern. They're going to summer at a higher elevation. They're going to spend most of their time through about maybe early to mid-October, and then after that, they're going to kind of start to transition towards their winter and kind of the range where they're going to rut. So that's also worth considering, the timing of your hunt, the season, the weapon, and kind of where you think you might find animals during that time of year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe overly simplistic to you to hear me say this, but for a lot of us back home might not be, that the unit that is the best unit for you to draw for a September archery elk hunt is not the same unit for a November hunt. Like, you would pick different units will be the best unit to draw at different times of the season.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I can speak specifically for an elk unit here, just locally to me. It's a tough archery elk hunt early in the season. And it's a phenomenal late rifle hunt in November, just because of the type of the terrain and where those elk end up wintering. And, there was a big burn that blew through that area a number of years ago that has opened up a bunch of feed, especially on those south-facing exposed slopes in the winter. So, yeah, it's a phenomenal late hunt. It's a decent archery hunt, but it's a whole lot tougher. So, yeah. There are those little key intricacies of each individual hunt and unit, and we try to break those down in that Go Hunt Insider. That's the kind of information I think you'll find within the unit profile to kind of help give you a leg up on that.
All right. Coming right back, more with Trail Kreinzer from GoHunt.com. We'll talk more about the strategy of picking out where you're going, and let's talk. We'll talk the species and the place and the draw process, and also we'll run through the list like we did last year with Trail and find out, what stuff do we actually need to carry with us if we're going out west? What gear do we need? What gear needs to stay in the garage? What are the realities of Western hunting here in 2019? We continue that discussion when we get back right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along. We're talking application season. No, not deer season, not turkey season. Application season with Trail Kreitzer from GoHunt.com. And kind of breaking down, if you want to hunt in the West this year, you can do it, but you do have to get on the ball now and start making sure you're looking at your options and you're not letting deadlines pass. Trail, that's another thing y'all have, is if I'm worried that I'm going to miss a deadline, I can go state by state and check out when I got to have things in.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you sign up as an insider in the account and you have your subscription, you actually can log in. And if you hover over your login there, it's going to open up what we call the hunting dashboard. And within that hunting dashboard, on the right side of the page, you're going to see a dates and deadlines graphic, which is going to break down all the dates and deadlines for all the upcoming applications in the West.
And let's talk about something. I had put this in my notes here. I want to run through a couple of my notes. And I think as people get on there and look at, as they go through, if they're on the insider and they're selecting different filters to give for y'all to help us have a suggestion of what unit we might try to hunt, one of them on some states, not all states, there's resident and then there's non-resident. And then I see this thing, non-resident special or something to that mm-hmm. effect. What is that?
Yeah, so Wyoming, they have two pools of permits that are available to non-residents. They have a regular pool and a special pool. The only difference between those permits is that you're going to pay a higher cost for the special permit. So if you decide to go in that special draw, you're going to pay more for the same, the same permit. But in reality, what that gives you is possibly better odds because, there's less people that are willing to pay a higher price for a permit. And so you just got to kind of choose, pick and choose which pool of draw you want to go into, either regular or special. You might have better odds in the special, but then again, you're also going to pay a higher price for the same tag.
Yeah, and it depends, too. What I love about using the website, using GoHunt.com, is I can go. I may or may not have been looking at some Wyoming antelope units the other day and looked at it. And I said, oh, cool. If I'm a non-resident special, I have 100% chance of drawing this unit. I said, well, let me go over here and see what if I was just a non-resident regular. It was 100% draw, too. So I said, okay, I could save myself the money on that one. There are some nuances. There's some little things like that where it makes a big difference in one and maybe not so big in another. So, I mean, it's worth kind of comparing and contrasting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always worth comparing and contrasting. You start looking at elk, and when you get up there in the points race, let's say you're at max points, there's more people that are willing to pay that special price. And so a lot of those cases, you actually have odds that are almost exactly the same, or it can be even slightly better odds in the regular draw for some of those, just because there's so many, people that are really highly sought after permits. So it's always worth looking both at the regular and the special and kind of weighing the pros and the cons and really picking those apart for the units that you're interested in.
Once we get to wherever it is that we're going to try to go hunt an antelope or an elk or a mule deer out west, there's this question of, okay, I've done my research through Go Hunt and looking at maps and reading up. I've done my research on the critters and what the mountain looks like and when to expect snowfall and all these things y'all put out. You need four-wheel drive. You don't need an ATV. You do need an ATV, all that. But what about how do I get there? Where do I stay kind of information? I mean, y'all you have some breakout for us on that?
Yeah, so I kind of mentioned it briefly, but every unit in every state that we cover, every hunt area, is going to have a unit profile. And within that unit profile, one of those topics of discussion or one of the little paragraphs that you're going to say is access information and then camping and lodging. So it's going to give you the pertinent information that you need to know about that unit. What are the major access roads and points? And if that's a county road, we're going to call that out. We're going to call out things like Forest Service campgrounds, if there's wilderness areas, we're going to call those out in that section as well and try to call out the trailhead that gets you into those areas. So that's another portion of the website that we try to give people, like I said, a leg up, helps them get started on their hunt.
All right. In my notes here, you kind of talked about it as we were talking about youth hunting early in it, but for youths or for older people, whatever, best, okay, you're going to hate this, the best first Western hunt. What is the best first? Pick the species, pick the weapon.
I would say, and again, I'm partial to antelope hunting. It's just such a fun hunt. So I would say an antelope hunt is a great first Western hunt for somebody. And I would say rifle, just, you know, the opportunity that you can reach out a little bit farther. You don't have to be quite so patient or stealthy. So I think that's a great first hunt. Next to that, I would probably say a mule deer is another great hunt for a brand new hunter. You know, you're getting a chance to hunt the mountains. And again, I would probably say rifle, just because your chance of harvest is that much higher. You're going to see some beautiful country. You're going to see some animals and quite possibly get a chance to harvest a buck. So I would say either antelope or mule deer.
All right. So you got your what you're going to go do, y'all, on the list. You got to figure out where you're going to do it, what unit, what state. Also, I would talk to folks here, because you are not only a research manager with GoHunt.com, but you're a gear expert, and you helped me out a whole bunch last year. As we look at gear, I mean, one of the things I got to start off with and just confirm what you told me last year, forget everything else. Glass and boots seem, that's my response coming back. Your boots and what you're looking through, those are like my number one and number two.
Yeah. Yeah, there's,
is that fair?
I would say there's three staples, and I would say it's optics, a good pair of boots, and then probably after that, I would say a good pack.
Yeah, and I want to explain to that to people too. I think it's worth noting, and I know I put some of the pictures up on the Facebook page for the Outdoor Show, but not just the backpack. People say, well, listen, Trail, I'm not going to go overnight. I'm not backpacking. Mm-hmm. We're gonna stay down in town. I'm gonna go eat at Pizza Hut every night and carb up. But to go, it's not like back here in the East. I mean, to go out for a day hunt requires a backpack. And if you're lucky enough to kill something, it really requires a backpack.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point that you make. There's so many companies now that are making you know, very specific packs that are designed towards Western big game hunting. And they may only be, you know, volume-wise big enough that you're going to use that for a day hunt. So maybe they're only 1,800 to maybe 3,300 cubic inches. But they've got those features built into that pack that's going to allow you to quickly break down and then haul an animal out. So a lot of these Western big game hunting-specific packs have things that they call a load shelf. So it basically gives you the ability to detach the bag from the frame and then haul meat on a load shelf between the bag and the frame. And it's going to do so comfortably, you know, so that you can actually handle a lot of weight. You know, your bag's not going to rip and fall apart, and you're going to be able to get your equipment and the animal out. So, yeah, that's something worth considering, because, you know, I could probably count on, you know, one hand of all the animals I've ever killed that didn't come out of my back. Most of them do.
Yeah, and one thing, I mean, this is just going to be some for absolutely newbie guy here. I don't know anything other than my one experience, but I will point out, even looking at the maps of the units we hunted mule deer in Colorado, we would see roads in areas and go, okay, you know what, if we do kill an animal there, we can pack out to this road. We're doing that through satellite. That does not take into account weather. And, you know, maybe in September or August or something, it's dry, or during a dry time of year, that road's just fine. But there's miles of road out there, even with a four-wheel drive. If you're on something with angle or pitch one way and the snow just melted, I'm telling y'all, you're not going to be, even though on the map it looked like you could drive a truck or an ATV up to them, you can't. I mean, sometimes I saw very few places where after there was a snowfall where we were in Colorado, you would have been able to safely drive a vehicle up to right by the game you shot. You had to pack it out.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity too to increase your, you know, the animals you might see, or potentially the quality, by getting some distance away from roads or trails. You know, you're going to increase your opportunity to see animals and decrease hunting pressure, because there's really less people that are willing to go out that far. And if you got a nice pack, you know, and the ability to haul something out, you know, it opens up a whole new realm of possibilities to you. But you're right. I mean, roads and trails and conditions, weather conditions can change quickly out west.
Yeah, I mean, I studied studied so much satellite imagery during the summer last year. And yeah, those roads were there. But after a snowfall, it just was not the same. You couldn't get a vehicle into some of those places. And you mentioned going a little further. It almost sounds, epic and cliche at the same time. And when I say epic, I've watched some of the hunts you're doing and Brady and the rest of the crew with Go Hunt, and y'all are doing some epic high country way back in kind of hunts. It looks like from looking at you, you could walk from here, you could probably walk from your home here to Mobile, Alabama and back and not faze you. But I noticed that it didn't have to be, the cliche, I guess, is the just getting off the road. Like we tell people here, same thing on public land here, even for whitetails, you get a half mile off the road and it's a whole new world. I saw that same thing out there. I mean, we went in some distance and we had some, you know, five, 6 mile days in, but gosh, you get a half mile, three quarters of a mile, all of a sudden there was game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to get far off the road to turn up wildlife. I always say, you know, don't walk past game animals to try to get to other game animals, you know.
Right.
And, you know, take your time and walk in. Some of the biggest bucks I've ever killed here in my home state have been, you know, less than a quarter or half a mile off a major freeway. So, you know, animals, you know, they can adapt and they can live places, and you're absolutely right. You don't have to go clear back in to find animals. You know, there's always opportunities even close. But
let's talk about
great.
Well, to talk to us about that too. Before people do that, I would suggest whether it be three quarters of a mile or 12 miles in, they do need to make sure they have some sort of GPS with a chip, some of the online services, because you get turned around. I mean, you really don't, even if you're going short distance, I would suggest you have something in your hand that can get you back, you know, to where you started.
Yeah, absolutely. A GPS is a staple in my pack. You know, there's programs now like Onyx Hunt that works well with your phone. You know, that's going to provide map and GPS locations for you as well. You know, maybe one potential downfall of that is that, you know, your battery on your phone is maybe only so good, so that can be an issue. But I always carry a GPS. You know, it's good to learn how to use your GPS, you know, how to navigate with it. And definitely, you know, it's always worth having. And there's never been a better time. I mean, there's so many cool, neat gadgets anymore. The last few years I've been carrying this thing we call a Garmin InReach Explorer, which is essentially works as a GPS and a satellite messenger. So, you know, I can pay a subscription to that, and it's relatively inexpensive. And with that little unit, I can actually, you know, message and talk to my wife. I can keep in touch with her. She can message me back anywhere in the world. So it doesn't matter if I've got cell phone service or not. I've always have the ability to stay in touch. It's got emergency SOS button on it. If I punch that, it's going to send my exact GPS location to search and rescue. And, you know, there's really never been a better time to be a hunter and be equipped. And so I would say for sure, you know, be equipped and know how to use the tools that you have at your available to you, basically.
Absolutely. Coming right back with Trail Cruncher, I want to mention that because I did not have, even though it's on my, it's probably in a buy basket somewhere right now online to go purchase that InReach, but I carried an EPIRB like we do offshore here, and I also carried some mapping software, and it left a big hole. I'll tell you how I screwed that up, and Trail will help us fix that problem when we come back. All right, so you fired up now? I am. You know, it's nice. This is not as exciting as hunting to me, but it is pretty exciting to be in this application process, thinking about hunting this coming season out west. And it's so great to have Trail Kreitzer from GoHunt.com on with us talking about going to the website, GoHunt.com. And also you mentioned the Insider. And remind folks, too, if they have not done this before, how you get signed up on the Insider and why should they pay the money to get signed up?
Yeah, so it's an easy process to get signed up as an insider. You just go to GoHunt.com. Right there on the homepage in the top right corner, you're going to see a link that says Join Insider. And you're just going to click that link, and it's going to walk you through the process of signing up. It is a subscription service. You mentioned that. So the fee for that is $149 a year. We do have a promo right now. If you want to use the promo Hunt17 when you sign up, We're actually going to give you $50 to your account that you can use to purchase or towards the purchase of any equipment that you want from our gear shop. We have a fully stocked Western Hunting gear shop. The other cool thing about being an insider is that if you shop in our gear shop, we're actually going to give you points back on your purchase. So we wanted to keep it nice and clean and simple. 1 point is equal to $1. So it's just another added incentive of being an insider. And really, I mean, being an insider, I hear it all the time. Like, you know, I can't hunt the West. I can't go out there. That's just too complex. All the states are different. I don't know where to go or how to get a permit. We're going to open all those doors for you. We're going to give you all the information that you need to know to process it and make sense of it and allow you to either apply or purchase a tag over the counter. We're going to give you the information that you need to know to get out into the field and actually go on a hunt and find some success. So I would say that's why you're joining. If you dream of going on a Western big game hunt, this is just an absolutely invaluable tool for you.
Yeah, the only thing I could add is what he said, y'all, because that's exactly, you just described me over the years, and then last year when I finally signed up. I mean, y'all, seriously, I didn't know trail. I didn't know anybody at GoHunt.com, but I knew I wanted to go, and I was, I'd been overwhelmed. I mean, I think fairly enough, you know, you got to pick a state, you got to pick a species, you've got to figure out where in that state to go, and that's pretty daunting if you didn't grow up around it, and y'all. Y'all did great stuff, and that's why I love having y'all on the show, because I do believe in what you do. I think it's going to be an asset for a lot of folks who have said, oh, one day, quit saying one day, and go now. Go hunt this year. I want to get to something real quickly you were saying before we went to the break, Trail. We're talking about communications, and I pointed out when we went to the news break to you, you and I were talking this, I said I carried I actually had an EPIRB with me because we carry those here, you know, along our river systems and out in the Gulf, and it's a safety thing. So I had that for, oh gosh, something bad happens. I have a way to tell people where I am. But other than that, mm-hmm. I had a cell phone and we had radios. And we had good radios, good high quality, radio system. But as soon as our group split up, there were four of us. And, day I killed my buck, the group hadn't gone, probably they weren't, but a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles from us. But because of topography, we couldn't raise them on the radio, had nowhere, no connection with them. Cell phones didn't work. And honest to goodness story, guys, I had to drive 40 minutes. That would be 40 minutes to get cell phone coverage. I mean, so if you're talking about that in reach or something like that, that's a lifesaver. Literally,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, and they have a couple of models. One that you and I talked about, I think, in the break is they call it an InReach Mini, which is a tiny little satellite messaging device, and it's simply all it is. And the cool thing about it is it's going to Bluetooth through your phone. You can hang that from your backpack, or I've even, you know, when I've been backpack hunting, I've hung that from my trekking pole that I've used to pitch my tarp and my shelter, and I've been able to just lay there in my sleeping bag with my phone, and I just text just like normal. It's going to Bluetooth to that device, and it's going to send my message, you know, to anywhere in the world, you know, regardless of whether I have cell phone service or not. So those are awesome little tools to have. And if you know, your hunting party has them, if a couple of you have them, you know, you can communicate and keep in touch with each other. You can send, you know, GPS locations for where the other person is at. So that's going to save you a bunch of time. It definitely would have saved you, you know, the drive back into town.
Yeah, I mean, a really big deal, y'all. And you wouldn't think about it, but because I didn't, because I had safety equipment. I had an EPIRB in case I got in trouble. I had radios. I had a phone. I had these systems, but I couldn't link it together. I couldn't make it all happen. I was missing that component, so that's a great piece of information. Once again, Trail Kreitzer, GoHunt.com. People need to use what code to save the money? What's the code?
Yeah, it's HUNT17, so just HUNT17. And when you sign up there towards the end, you're going to have an opportunity to enter a promo code. And like I said, that's good for $50 in our gear shop when you sign up.
That is awesome stuff. And we will talk again soon. Y'all go check out what's going on at GoHunt.com. And Trail, we'll talk again this spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And anytime anybody has any questions, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to help. You know, my email is just trail@gohunt, and I'm more than happy to help people get out in the field.
That is an understatement. The man is extremely helpful. Y'all check it out. All right, we've got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on next. Remember, the show posts up as podcast probably about 8:30 this morning. Plus, you can check it out again tonight and tomorrow right here at FM Talk 106.5.